You are now entering the Cave of Solitude.
Welcome to the show, y'all. It's the Cave of Solitude.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and we have a full house tonight, and we are at an undisclosed location. We are not at Cyber City. We are not at the home cave. I don't know where we are, but Jazz brought us here. Everybody's safe and sound, and you're in for a treat. So we know Jazz is in the house. Jazz.
What up?
Everybody else want to introduce yourself around the table, starting beside Jazz?
Ronnie.
Ronnie's back.
I'm Ronnie's fiance, Angelica.
Welcome to the show, Angelica. We got some lady representation.
Stop.
And another first timer,
Martin Slam Duncan.
In the flesh. So this is what happens when you are a fan of the Cape of Solitude and you write an email, you get to come on the show.
Oh, is that?
Is that a promise?
Yeah. That's how it's worked, right? So if you've written an email to the show, you're most likely going to have a chance to be on the episode.
I don't remember that.
Glad to be here.
My proxy.
There you go. Did you email the show?
I allow it.
There you go. So, Martin, since you are one of our oldest listeners and you are now joining us for your first time episode, we have to do the traditional thing with a newcomer. Comic book origin. What is your history in the hobby? How did you get into it? Wow. And tell us all the other kind of stuff that you're into.
This is going to be a long
podcast.
That's
okay.
Man.
That's
all right.
Jazz, oh, yeah.
Jazz is trying to do a 4-hour podcast.
Yep.
Okay.
What?
So what's the first memory of comic books that you can link it back to?
Okay. I have to say the first comic book I consciously went and bought was an Uncanny X-Men issue. And from there, I just caught the bug.
You remember the issue number?
I remember the cover.
Okay.
Murder World was on it. I actually should really look this up. And at the end of the issue, Nightcrawler is in this, dungeon or something. And he's, bamfing out of this thing. And he can't see where he's going. So it was, sort of a cliffhanger. Did he morph into the side of this, into the ocean? Did he morph into the side of this wall? We don't know. And then it just kind of hooked me from there. It was awesome. After that, I kind of got into more of the adult comics at the time. Because there's stuff like Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. Which we'll talk a little bit of that. Okay. Some Shang-Chi, some White Tiger. I got into the Savage Sword of Conan. Conan was one of my favorite things. Some EC comics. Then I got really more into sort of the Marvel stuff. I'm kind of more of a Marvel guy.
Good
I love
you.
All sorts.
Right words.
I am a Marvel guy. I do like all sorts of comics. You know, I have my favorite DC stuff. You know, Batman's still great. You know, Nightwing's my guy. You know, I do some martial arts. So, and we'll get into that. I'm sure.
Jazz is in love with you.
Shang-Chi, we'll get into that, Nightwing. Right? Come on, uses two Esprima sticks, of course.
Yeah.
Right. So, I like a lot of that stuff. You know, growing up, I was, and we're probably going to be talking a little bit, considering the topic we got today. But I was always into Sunday morning Kung Fu theater. Bruce Lee was my idol so much that I actually started getting into the martial arts. I always wanted to do that. Later in life, I actually started taking martial arts, went into a club. They were doing, it was amazing. So they were doing, stick work, kali, knife work. I'm seeing these guys going back and forth. I didn't understand it, but I saw knives flying everywhere. I thought this was cool. And then the knives went away, and then the pads came out, and everybody's smacking pads around and tie pads and things like that. And I'm like, I want to do this. So I, was trying to become, my own superhero.
Nice.
So from there, I continued to train. I've been training ever since, so much so that I actually became an instructor in martial arts. When you mentioned we're going to do an Iron Fist podcast, spoiler, I was very excited to do it. Other than that, though, I'm kind of into a lot of different stuff. I love the movies. I love anything nerdy. I'm into again, some DC stuff. Lately, my new thing has been a lot of the Valiant titles, which I think we need to do a podcast on.
Definitely,
for sure.
Definitely.
I've just been eating up everything I can about the Valiant titles. I think they're amazing. I think quality-wise, pound for pound quality-wise, they're probably the best company out there right now. So I could probably go on and on. But I don't know.
No problem. It's your debut episode.
My debut episode. Hey, folks. So one thing I do want to mention. So a little bit inspiration from this show, and thanks to Eric for helping me out. But I'm also going to be starting my own podcast too. So I'm gonna sort of talk about that here a little bit.
That's awesome.
So it's going to be comic book, pop culture, everything and anything that we think is cool to talk about at the time. We're probably going to do stuff like a wrestling episode. I want to do a few interviews with some artists and things. Whatever, you know, whoever is willing to talk, you know, we'll listen. So it's going to be called the Fastball Special. I've got a website, a terrible website right now. has no content at all. So you can check it out now. But very soon we'll have some content. And I appreciate Eric for helping me out with that.
My pleasure. I'm happy that you know what? When I started the podcast, I'll be honest, I don't know how to track how many listeners I got and all the downloads I get. I'm just happy when I find out that someone's listened and they enjoyed the show. But to know that you are starting your own podcast, I'm happy to hear that. More content, the better. And Martin is the type of guy who, when you see him at the cons, he's everywhere. Any line you want to get into, he's already been in it. Front of the line. He knows all the artists. You see him sitting with guys like Joe Jusco, or I don't know. How many people have you just sat with for, like, he just goes up to legends.
It just happens. I don't know.
Bernie Wrightson's there, and he sits with him for half an hour. Tell him about the DMC story. That's a classic story. No way.
Yeah, so
that's a good story.
So as a kid, I used to have one of these like old boom boxes, you know, and this was my thing. And back in, I'm a little bit older, so this is what we didn't have some fancy iPods and things. We got boom boxes right
classic.
Back then. And I had it as a kid, and yeah, with the tape decks and the cardboard and the breakdancing and all that stuff. I can't do that now, but you know, back then it was something. So, you know, it's been a long time. I got rid of it years ago, right? And it's one of those things, like, when you get to a certain age, you want to go buy back your childhood. So I scoured the city, found this wicked boombox, and I ended up bringing it to this con, and Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC was there. So I'm like,
he loves DMC.
I am going to get him to sign my boombox.
Oh my God.
Right?
No,
so
way.
I put the batteries in, hooked up my iPhone to it, started playing.
What song was playing?
Oh, what was it now? It's Like That, right?
Oh,
so I'm playing It's Like That, and I'm coming down the hallway, and Daryl's like looking over at me, and I've got this boom, and he's just like, he's shaking his head, but in approval. So I came up to him, and he's like, this is cool, right? He's like, and he's looking at it, and he's like, oh, this is an original, like, yeah, original JVC and everything. So he's like, okay, come behind here. So he asked me to, like, come behind his counter while he's signing his new comics, and I got to hang out with the guy for, like, an hour, almost an hour, just sitting there, because he didn't want to move, because he wanted
nuts.
The boombox there, he wanted to listen to all the music when I was there, and he starts rapping to it. He starts sitting there, rapping to the songs. It was amazing. I'm talking to this
cry.
Guy, and I'm just thinking, this guy, like, growing up, this guy was selling out just stadiums,
mm-hmm.
you know? How big? And I have access to this guy now.
You're just chilling,
right?
Him.
I was like, I'm like,
right?
Sitting here with his posse is hanging out, and I'm like, oh, this is what am I doing here? people are in lines, like, who's this guy? Like, who's this guy? I'm like, I don't
the
know this happened,
guy.
But that's the white guy, right?
There has,
like,
to be one.
That's inclusive, right? So I'm like, that's so cool. I'll stay here. I'm hanging out with Run DMC all day long, right?
That's
so
awesome.
So,
oh my gosh.
So that sort of stuff happened. Yeah, I got some pictures and stuff, so we'll show you after.
Wow.
You can't show pictures on podcasts. But,
no,
but
maybe
we
can post it as, like,
we'll
the podcast.
A picture.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So that was a highlight for me.
Nice.
He's the guy to go to cons with, because he finds a way to talk. Oh, I know that guy. Oh, yeah, go to this guy. Just tell him you know me.
It's it's attrition, man. Yeah, like, you go for so many years, people get to know your face,
then
those people talk to other people, and you end up just talking to people. And that's why I thought, you know, now's the time. You know, I have a few ins. I could probably talk to some really cool people in the industry.
Quick question.
Want to bring Eric? Yeah.
Do they know you as Martin, or do they know you as Slam Dunkin?
A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
You know, in the podcast world, you should just go by Slam.
Slam, okay.
Just
we're going
to
go Slam.
Slam.
That's
okay,
it.
Okay,
bring in the Slam.
That's it.
Okay.
It's classic.
So little origin story on Slam. So, wrestling fan from the 80s, more 80s and 90s. Not huge right now, not because I don't like it, just had no time to do everything. Comic books. So, 80s and 90s, big fan, and I don't know if you guys know that era of wrestling, but at one point all the wrestlers had alternative jobs, right? Mm-hmm. They had like garbage man wrestler, they had like firefighter wrestler, they had like, they all had this other job on top of the wrestler. So,
yeah.
So, and they also had a lot of play on words, right? Like Isaac Yankum was like the dentist,
right?
So I was sitting around with a couple of buddies of mine, and we're all trying to figure out, you know, what our wrestling name was. So one person says, Slam Dunkin, right? So my last name is Dunkin. So I'm like, Slam Dunkin. Yeah, I'll be like the basketball player that can't play basketball. And I get all upset. I'll get all upset, and then when I freak out and I'll start slamming people. So that's where it started, and it just kind of
stuck
since then.
That's a dope.
And now I slam
name,
people at the gym.
There you go. See, I can't share my some of my high school nicknames because my given name is Eric Anthony, but it's not my actual last name. So the things that people came up with for my last name were highly inappropriate. So I'll say it off the air. But you can't call me those names once I tell you.
Okay.
No, we can't.
Okay. Angelica, you got to give us your comic book origin because Ronnie's told me that you've got a pretty good taste in some of the stuff that you read. If you like
thanks.
Marvel, you got good taste.
Thank you. It was back in the 90s. I think I was 7 years old, 6 or 7, and actually I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I remember all of my uncles. I grew up with a lot of uncles. I didn't have a lot of cousins. So me, my sister, and a bunch of uncles, and they would watch wrestling, like listen to like really great old music, and read lots of comics, mainly X-Men. And the first one I remember they gave me because it was an extra, I don't remember the title, but I remember what it looked like. And it was just the X-Men in space again, so I don't know which one that is.
Space
in the 90s.
Did it have star jammers?
They were stuck. There was a vehicle. They couldn't. They were in like a cave.
That's literally every X-Men cover.
You do realize that, right? That's actually... No, not the cover. The story.
That's literally every X-Men story.
Every X-Men space story, so I'm sorry, I can't be specific.
Space and caves.
But it was after that I got into comic books, and then I found out about Deadpool, and he became one of my top favorites because he was created in 91. I was born in 91, so I got really familiar with him. And then because of that, I got into Uncanny X-Men and then Uncanny X-Force, and X-Force altogether, and that type of, those kind of storylines that does like what the X-Men can't do, that actually became one of my favorite types of stories. Mm-hmm. And they would go behind like Cyclops' back, and then he would be a little bee and be like, how dare you? Don't look at Professor X's. And we're like, no,
everything
shut
I
up.
See is red.
I hate Cyclops. But yeah, It was just from there, and then when I met him, we were too young to even talk about it. We just talked about like martial arts instead. And then after that, when we got back together, we broke up, got back together, and then we just started talking about how he likes Batman and Batman, Batman, Batman. I'm like, hey, I like Deadpool, and he's like, so Batman.
Yeah, we
and
know.
Batman. Yeah, but you don't live with it. You don't live with it. You don't have to deal with him every day. I have to.
Coming straight out of Gotham.
Don't.
See, I have the female equivalent of Ronnie at home. My
oh,
wife
really?
Is just Batman. Batman, Batman.
Put
Batman. Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to Daff J. She can't be here, but anything Batman is good.
Oh my goodness.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
The realest person.
That's right.
In podcasting.
And when I say that on the show, the title that was given to her came from Mr. Slam Duncan himself.
Duncan approved.
And the only other character who she might put in that category is Daredevil, because he's similar to Batman.
Yes, very similar to
right?
Batman.
So
not as cool, like, visually, but yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, exactly. So I know what it's like.
He's pretty cool looking in the Netflix series.
We're talking about comic books.
Alright.
I wish this was a video.
Okay. Sure.
Poor Jazz.
I mean, that's not comic book related, but okay.
Not in my eyes. No, I'm joking.
So do you have a series specifically that was your favorite? Because you said
series.
From the X-Men you started, and you like the X-Force. Or was there like a specific one that you put a
copy
of? In
Uncanny X-Force, I would say the one with the team that has Deadpool, Psylocke, Phantom X, Wolverine, and is that it? Oh, and no, not that one. That's X-Force.
Okay.
Nightcrawler. Is it Nightcrawler?
That's Rick Remender's.
Yeah.
But yes, I liked that whole storyline.
That was really good.
It was, really
excellent.
Good. It was a good read.
Oh, Archangel. That was the other.
Archangel.
Oh,
yes. Archangel was the one.
You like the Savage ones.
I don't like Archangel. I like Angel, but not Archangel.
Saint your daddy's
so cool.
X-Force.
Shut up. You sound like everyone I know.
What I miss? What?
I don't like Archangel. I like Angel.
That's okay. They're both kind of weird.
But that was a good series.
It was a really good series.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I think you picked that when we did our top three Marvel, right?
Yeah.
See, because I bought the whole collection for her, and
then
she's like, "You gotta read this," and I read it, and I was just like,
"That was pretty good."
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
I told her to buy it because I found it online, and I said, "Can you get this Uncanny X-Force for me?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I picked it up at like different places. One book was at BMV, another one was at Silver Snail, another one was somewhere else, and I managed to get them in order.
The quest.
That's
we know the quest.
The fun, right?
Yep.
Almost as fun as reading them.
Mm-hmm.
So getting into today's topic, which I'm sure all of you guys are chomping at the bit to talk about, because everybody in this room is a martial artist except for me. So
we'll fix that.
I hang out with like fellow fans of geek culture, but I make sure all of my friends in geek culture can protect me. Because
hey,
I'm wrestling
is considered a martial art sometimes.
What's that, wrestling?
Yeah.
I guess, but not professional wrestling.
I mean,
you gotta let somebody powerbomb you, right? Who's gonna let that happen in real life?
It is still effective. It does work.
It could work, but
it's just a matter of getting there.
So I'm going to do my best to be very polite and respectful, because I know you are good with the knives. You're good with pretty much everything Slam Duncan, and you can take people out with their hands and you're like, right? Like, I don't even know what you guys are doing. You're all good by me. So we're going to get into Netflix Iron Fist series. Jazz was, I don't even know what the word to describe it that would be appropriate for this show. How excited you were for Iron Fist.
What did you think it was?
It was, I thought
kinda,
it was great.
Oh,
wow.
Not,
your voice was a little too high there. It was great!
It's usually
fine.
Higher when he says, "It was amazing! It was amazing!"
But that's more breathy though. He's like, "It was fine!
Yeah.
It sounds like we have a polarizing show today.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying not to, like,
he's
yell
tame.
As much.
You've become tame.
I'm trying not to yell as much, okay? I have a bit of a cough. You wanted that? It was amazing, okay? Is that what you wanted?
Now I know that voice.
There you go.
Now you can put a face to that voice.
That's right.
Yeah, so I thought it was great. There was a lot of story building in like the first six episodes. Although the sixth episode was like the best one, not because it was directed by Reza, because it was like the little, you know, Game of Death cameo, like homage there.
We're gonna get into it. But I think out of everybody I knew, you were probably most excited, but definitely this guy.
Oh yeah,
right?
I don't know.
Oh,
about
yeah.
That.
I don't know
about
knew,
that.
People
okay.
that I would see and that I would be like, hey, I don't know. know how many months before. As soon as Luke Cage was done,
it went from "It's gonna be amazing" to "It was amazing."
Yeah. The trailer came out. Oh my goodness, the show's the greatest show of all time.
First episode, it was amazing.
Yeah. It's good to be in a room with people who appreciate a character like that and like the history of martial arts and being able to break it down and get your opinions, because as we all know, and people who are into this stuff and have seen Iron Fist or have read reviews about it, it is very polarizing, right? Some people are happy with it, some people not so much. So we could get into that today and go through the whole series as best as we can. So I guess we could start by going around and giving like what overall what you guys thought about it.
Watch it?
No. She didn't know.
A little bit. I heard him in the background, but I can't stop thinking of him being... I'm a Game of Thrones fan.
Okay.
So when I see him, I just see Sir Loras.
What? Oh.
Sir Loras, okay?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And I only see him, and I can't get his bad accent out of there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got you. Fair enough. So you don't have as much of a...
No, I don't, but I'm okay to listen.
Cool.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, Jazz, tell us what you thought.
I thought it was amazing. Okay, spoilers.
You were going to say that.
Yeah.
Spoilers to anybody who hasn't watched it. I'm glad that they didn't delve too much into the Kunlun stuff. Because I feel like if they did all the Kunlun stuff and the New York stuff, it'd be like really complicated and people would like...
It's confusing.
Yeah, people would get like cross-eyed and like, what?
Also, after that, it'd pretty much be over.
Yeah, that's it. There'd be okay.
It would just have to be Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah, it'd be Power Man and Iron Fist. That's what it'd be.
That'd
which
awesome.
Would be pretty good.
That'd be awesome.
I'd
like
to. we'll it's my turn.
Ronnie,
we'll talk a little bit about that. But yeah.
All right. First episode.
Just so you know, I'm judging you right now.
I know. As soon as we had that little like back and forth on Facebook, I was just like, ooh, he hates me right now.
Keep it short.
But yeah, it was. I felt like I had higher hopes for it,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? I ended up liking the outcome of it. It was something. Some things you could obviously complain about, like fight scenes are kind of debatable.
Mm-hmm.
Right between us, yeah, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
like it shows, like differences show where it's like, oh look, let's say look at this TV show like Into the Badlands, and then you look at the martial arts thing where their whole thing is martial arts, and where you come into Iron Fist and you're like, that's what you're kind of expecting because Iron Fist, right? He's an expert martial artist, and the fact that he starts as the Iron Fist coming to New York. Or you would expect like the fight scenes to be a little, like, if anything, on the same level, right? Which was kind of like underwhelming, but the techniques are there, and you could totally see like what they're trying to do with their moves.
Yeah,
it's just the execution was a little. If anything, they could. There's some scenes where, if they just sped it up a little, it'd be a lot nicer. So like the movements and everything, but yeah, I mean, it was okay. Story wise, meh. Like, if anything, I think my favorite character is Colleen Wing.
Oh, yeah, no, she's my favorite character, too.
Yeah. But.
So you're half and half on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So then?
This was tough. I like the show. I really like the show. But I wanted to love this show. And there's a few reasons, and I'll get into them maybe a little bit later. I'm not claiming to be an expert on Iron Fist, but I know enough about Iron Fist to know what I think should be in this show to make this a successful show, a successful Iron Fist to actually capture what Iron Fist is. And I think they did some great things, and I think that they missed the mark on some things. I will say that the things that they missed the mark on, they can be fixed in other seasons. So I think that it's something that they could bring in, they could make some tweaks. You talked about the martial arts a little bit, so there's some things I want to talk about that a little bit too. But these are things that can be fixed in
Definitely.
Other seasons. So I'm excited to see this character in The Defenders, and I'm excited to see another season of this. But there are a few criticisms that I have.
Yeah, fair enough. I think out of all of the Marvel shows that were coming out, other than Daredevil, this was the one that interested me the most because I mean, I know Jessica Jones is very well regarded, and there's never really been anything about Luke Cage, so it was cool to see that, you know, Harlem and that whole culture and everything depicted in that show. But I thought Iron Fist would have so much potential to do things that Daredevil can't do. Like, you can travel the world with Iron Fist. You can have so, like, a richer backstory. There's so much character development. More characters that you don't know who could be in it, whereas with Daredevil, you're expecting Foggy, you're expecting Karen Page.
Right.
There's people, it's like, they have to be there. Whereas with Iron Fist, it's like, are they going to be in Kun Lun? Are you going to see him fight a dragon? Like, there's so much stuff. So the anticipation was very high. And especially because, like you said, Martin, I wanted to love it, and I wanted it to be great because Jazz was hyping it up so much, so I wanted him to not in a bad way, but like, I wanted to be able to come back to the table and just be like, it was the greatest thing Marvel's ever done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I wanted to feel the way you were feeling about
it. And the way you feel about it.
Exactly.
But I enjoyed it. I liked episode 6 a lot, and I was like, okay, here we go. It's about to get started. And it never got started for me after that. Like, it just didn't take it there.
Mm-hmm.
There's things I'm confused about that I just want, like, I just want explained.
Sounds like a lot of the X-Men movies. I was let down so many times.
It's always the third X-Men movie that just makes you be like, wow.
Let's not talk about
that
movie.
That doesn't exist anyway.
Let's not talk about that
movie. Can I say one thing, though? I kudos to Marvel for taking a chance on Iron Fist, though.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a chance, right? Because
it's a step in the right direction.
Like what I thought Thor was, it is a hard character to get around because they have all that mysticism and things like that. And you know, Daredevil, very grounded show. Jessica Jones, they started sort of edging towards the superpowers and things like that. But Iron Fist, a guy that fights a dragon to get the power of the Iron Fist, like, it's way out there. And again, I'll get into some of the criticisms, but they didn't shy away from that origin story, right? They didn't shy from the guy having a glowing fist.
You don't have to be scared of that anymore, right?
But in today's, I think there's still some studios that are a little tentative to go that extra step. You look at the Nolan films, they wanted to keep it a lot more grounded, you know, but I think that, good for Marvel for taking that step.
So do you think it's, some people are of the opinion where it's like, I'm just happy that they made it.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me. Right? So we
got especially because it's characters where you would never be like, oh, Marvel characters, you want a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's like, I never would have thought, like, Iron Fist right off the
bat.
Or, like, Luke Cage right off the bat.
Yeah.
But here we are. Right? Everyone's thinking, oh, I want to see, like, you know, Iron Man or, like, Captain America, this and that.
But aren't we kind of past that, though, since they did make an Iron Man movie? Like, whoever really wanted an Iron Man movie? Like, I'm not saying nobody did, but out of all of the Marvel characters... I was happy about it, too. Like, I love any time they make a superhero or comic book-related movie.
Yeah.
But if someone were to be like, okay, here's the list of characters that we're going to make a television show out of DC, my first pick wouldn't have been Arrow.
No.
Right?
No.
Right?
Sorry. You would have probably been like Superman.
No, I would have said Nightwing or Batman or, like, there's so many characters that you could, more high profile characters that you could do. Like, Arrow, that's what we're going with? Out of everybody? But it was a good show, and I was like, hey, I'll give other stuff a chance. Mm-hmm. And then when they made Iron Man, I'm like, I'm sorry, but Iron Man was never an A-list Marvel character. He was a B-list.
Look at him now, though.
Now he is because of what he became in the Avengers in the movie. But
he was okay before the movie,
okay.
In the light.
Wasn't
as
Spider-Man.
Much as like Spider-Man was
Wolverine
exactly.
Sure.
Which,
but Marvel's got a knack, right? Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's
come on, talking raccoon.
But that's the point.
And it's incredible. Like Jessica Jones and I've been reading comics for a long time. I did not know much about Jessica Jones. When they announced the Jessica Jones show, I went off, I picked up the Alias trade, read all the Alias one, became a huge fan of Jessica Jones. But before that, I didn't know. And then I thought they knocked that show out of the park.
Yeah, it was
fantastic,
show.
Right? So, again, more about that and the hype around Iron Fist. But I still think it's still a risk for some... It's still a risk for Marvel to bring something like that out.
See, that's the part where I'm kind of like, if they can make a talking raccoon
work
cool, that everyone, that's the movie of the summer, and they're suddenly like in the zeitgeist where everyone knows what Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't know what they were when I saw
mm-hmm.
the trailer, but if they can make that work, I think Iron Fist should be easy. Because it's martial arts,
mm-hmm.
right? We've liked martial arts for years.
It's been around. How many martial arts things have been done
sure.
so nicely?
I think it's a different medium when it comes to TV and movie. They have a bigger kind of pool to dip their feet in when it comes to movies. That's why
mm-hmm.
they were able to be so successful with Guardians of the Galaxy. But when it came to Iron Fist and they said it was going to be like from Netflix, it's a little different. And then it's just like, okay, the pool is pretty big, but it's not as big as a movie. So they couldn't probably do the same thing that they would with Guardians of the Galaxy to Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I see it, and I kind of like... That's how I weigh my options, because they never put as much effort into TV shows the way they should, I think.
But with Netflix, though, it seems like... Once I saw Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
I was like... And they said, oh, these are the next ones coming... I said to myself, if they made Daredevil this good, and what I would think they would base Iron Fist off of,
mm-hmm.
like, that's going to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a martial artist. The way I saw Daredevil fight in those scenes that without any cuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm granted he's wearing a mask, so you could put a stunt double in there to do
yeah.
the fight scenes, but I'm like, sky's the limit. The fourth time around, they're going to be even better
yeah.
mm-hmm.
at doing what they become known to do. That was kind of my expectations were so high because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are some of the good points that stick out in your minds from the show? If you want to go again, and you guys can just open the floor. What are some of the good?
I'll
go.
Ahead. Me. Okay, I'll go. All right, I got a list. Okay,
prepared.
All right. So,
improvisation.
Not just good points, but stuff that I actually wrote. Stuff that made me cheer.
Nice.
In my notes here. So stuff, and some of the stuff is done really well,
yeah.
and some of the stuff has just opened some things that I think is going to come that got me even more excited. So the portrayal of the Iron Fist itself. So the glowing fist, because they could have went not doing this at all.
Yeah.
I like the way they did it, because they kind of took... Kari Andrews style
yes.
of Iron
yeah.
Fist, where you see the glow and you see sort of the bones underneath the
yeah.
fist.
Yeah. yeah,
I always thought that was a really cool take on that.
Yeah,
right. And where they're actually transferring the chi, and then later on you see this is something else I have in here, Orson Randall. Later on you
yes.
see
oh,
him,
yeah.
but we'll get to that in a sec. With the two Iron Fists, and then later, you know, as we know, he could channel it into his guns and things like that. So
yeah.
I like the fact that they embraced that, and it actually was a big part of that show. They talk about the Iron Fist a lot. Channeling
yeah.
the they did. They,
oh, yeah.
they talked about it a lot. So I thought that was cool, and it should be a part. It's an Iron Fist show.
Yeah.
You gotta talk about the Iron Fist. Right? Second part, Bride of the Nine Spiders. So
yes, that's what I was cheering about too.
Right.
Yeah,
the
tournament.
Spiders.
Oh my god, when they opened that episode. Oh my god,
so,
it was amazing.
So,
so I think he has a magic.
All right, man. I feel you. Okay, so are we ever going to see the Cities of Heaven tournament? This is getting
me
excited, because this is what I want to see. And I was watching. You know, going to some of those CW shows that you're talking about. So there's good and bad things. I was watching The Flash the other day, and they had an episode where Flash is in Gorilla City, and he's in the middle of this arena, and he's fighting one of these apes. And it's just like an establishing shot. Probably didn't cost a lot of money. But I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, they could do the tournament of the seven.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would blow my mind, right? Like, Fat Cobra? Come on.
You know what, I was thinking
right?
of the tournament in Dragon Ball Z. I was thinking something like that.
I need to see that. That has to be something. And that would make sense because, spoilers. We're good to go with spoilers. At the end of the show, Kunlun's gone. Potentially, they could be opening it up for that. But I'm hoping they're going to go that way.
Yeah.
during the cage fight. So Colleen Wing calls herself Daughters of the Dragon.
Yes!
Yes!
Right? So,
I yelled.
The daughter
that was
dragon.
That was for me. So... Yeah, so again, as I mentioned before, I, growing up, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, Daughters of the Dragon, I was so excited. So again, Colleen Wing's in there, let's see the Daughters of the Dragon. I'd love to see a Daughters of the Dragon series come out of this. That would be fantastic, but, I just want to see them together as the Daughters of the Dragon.
Yeah.
With Luke Cage, with
Misty
Luke Cage,
Knight.
Running around, Misty Knight. I thought that was great.
Misty Knight with a robotic hand.
Yep.
And then... Orson Randall. So
yes.
Orson Randall. So when that video came on, I literally got out of my chair because I was like, oh, Orson Randall.
I accidentally slapped my girlfriend in the face.
I believe it.
Please.
We were watching it.
Please.
And then Bakudo's just like, oh yeah, we have this footage from the 40s and
that got me excited too.
And
so I guess for people who don't know or don't. Know too much about Iron Fist. So Orson Randall was the previous Iron Fist. Danny Rand, I believe, is the 66th Iron Fist in a line.
Yes.
And Orson Randall was one from the 40s. So, I know my comic books.
Yes.
So
this guy's chi over here.
So he's going to chi overload. A lot of his stories take place in World War II, and he's able, very cool. He was actually a master of the Iron Fist, and he was able to channel his chi not only into both fists, but also his guns, which I thought was really cool. So he had some gun fu, right? So I think it would be really cool.
And I hope it's equilibrium.
And though I didn't talk about some of the things I didn't like, it's the only time we see a little bit of the costume.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only time.
And you know what? I'm glad.
Time.
I'm actually kind of glad that it wasn't on Danny.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm glad that they showed footage. I'm glad that they showed footage of a different Iron Fist that wasn't of Asian Orient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you acknowledge that there's Orson Randall.
Mm-hmm.
You already know, if you guys read Iron Fist, you already
mm-hmm.
know who that is.
Yes.
So all the Iron Fist fans are like, "Ah!"
Whoa!
I feel
we need a webcam in here.
No, but seriously, that's what they were like.
And live stream this.
I got excited for that too.
Yeah,
and I was it was like, there's hope.
Yes.
While I was watching, I'm like, okay, this could turn into
right.
something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what made me feel like.
Right. The dragon. On
the
chest.
I like the tattoo.
Dragon on the chest.
Yep.
I know it sounds simple. But
isn't that expected? if they didn't do that, wouldn't you be like, hello?
But I think some other things were expected that weren't it, right? So I still marked out a little bit when I saw it. The only time when a man takes his shirt off and I'm freaking out because he's got a dragon on his shirt.
Slam.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Right. So, but. It was cool. It was a cool moment.
Yeah.
Right? You know what's coming. You know he has it.
But
it's still a cool moment in the show, right?
No,
you know that's coming.
Goosebumps.
Those are really the.
No, same thing for me. When I said that's the guy, right?
And again, I think you disagree in terms of the risks, but the whole discussion around a dragon, right? They're not making up. Yeah, I got the powers doing something else. I'm not going to go that mystical route.
Yeah.
But they talk about him fighting a dragon in this show, and I think that was cool. We didn't see too much of it, right? But still, we saw maybe glowing eyes, I think, or something in the show.
Yeah.
But I thought that was still they're going there. That's good.
Yeah.
They should go there, right? They have to go there,
yeah.
And they did. So those are things that I really kind of dug about the show. There's one particular thing I think I'll save for a little bit later. My favorite thing about the show, I'll maybe save it a little bit later in the conversation, but I'll mention that. But those are kind of my key things.
Everything he said, Jazz?
Pretty much.
You have anything to add to it?
I like the weaponry in it.
Okay.
Like the weapon, like all the weapon fights that they had, mm-hmm. where it was, you could obviously tell that it was like Chinese style versus
Japanese
style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very heavily influenced.
Yeah. Yeah, you could totally tell that. Where like there was the girl in the alleyway with the wushu sword,
mm-hmm.
and Colleen Wing with
Wing.
Her kids. Oh my god, that fight scene was so good.
It's like very much two different like
yeah.
disciplines.
And you could totally tell because like one person's using one hand and the other person's using
both.
Two hands on a sword. So good. So like the weapon was so well done. Like there were certain parts, yes, I'll agree, that the kung fu, like the actual kung fu fight scenes were not as impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were fight scenes that I was like, that was dope. Like I'm glad that they used a drunken fist guy. In
yeah. Yeah.
Iron Fist. I was like, that's cool. He's protecting.
That was great.
And when Danny
game,
showed
like
when Danny
yeah,
showed Colleen the leopard
yeah.
fist in the dojo, I was like, yes.
That was sick.
It'll get enough shine.
How about you, Ryan?
After seeing that Orson Welles tidbit, I was like, I was just like, oh yeah, Orson, wow. Orson Randall. Anyway, yeah, after I saw that video, I was just like, is he gonna show up? And I was just kind of waiting for it. And then at the end, I was like, Orson? Are you just gonna show up? Like, I knew your father. What? Yeah, no, I was waiting for that so badly because, like, I have the Matt Fraction book.
Yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, from then on, I was like, okay, forget Danny. I'm all, like, Tim Morrison.
I just recently read that, too. I read some of the original comics when they came out. I bought them. But I just read the trade. That's so good. And I was
yeah.
the same way. I'm like, I'm falling in love with Orson Randall,
yeah.
man. This guy is awesome.
Yeah.
I forgot to swear, but I didn't.
And he's like, I like the fact that, like, other people, see, one of the things is, like, Danny's learning things about the Iron Fist as he's going along with his journey in this first season, right?
Yeah.
But he's learning from different people. Like, he's learning from...
Bakudo.
Yeah, Bakudo. From the hand of all places to learn about the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And it's like, why couldn't he remember some teachings from Lei Kung? Which is, like, Lei Kung is my boy because it's the same dude from Banshee. What? They have Job here?
Oh my
god.
When I told you that, you lost your mind and you actually called me.
I was like, shut up. As soon as I, is that a no-no? Is it? Is
no,
it?
You
shut up. Okay, thank god.
I'm in kindergarten.
Thank god.
Is that a no-no?
Is that a no-no?
You can say shut up.
I was just like, you were
okay,
like,
okay.
You're like, Lei Kung is Job. And then I was like, I didn't even think of Lei Kung, first of all. And I was like, they have Job here? I was like, shut up. I was on the bus to Scarborough. I'm on a 199. I turned my data on so fast, went on Netflix and was like watching, and I was like, oh my god, he's not lying. I was so happy. And then I was waiting for like scenes where you would see Lei Kung teach Danny some techniques and applications and whatnot, or
yeah.
how to use the fist certain ways. None of that. And I was just like, because every origin story has someone training to become where they're already at, and they always like show that, where whether it's like Batman or like Superman
Nailed it.
Learning how to fly and stuff like that. Whereas like I wish we had more training time with Iron Fist, and that would have been a great way to put more time of Kun Lun
mm-hmm.
into the first season, because that's one of the things that they're missing is Kun Lun exposure, other than I'm leaving the gates, and it's like, oh no, I'm back, psych, everyone's dead, crap, the gate's not open. And it was just like, The only memories we got of Kun Lun was him talking to Lei Kun, or him waking up in Kun Lun.
I want to talk to this. So
okay. I want
to
talk to this.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just show it. My first note: where is Kun Lun? Right. So I get we don't want to have a huge Kun Lun story right off the bat.
Yes.
Get that. But we gotta get a taste of this. Why is Davos so attached to Kun Lun?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm seeing about Kun Lun is Danny Rand as a child getting beat by three monks.
Yep.
In a white room.
Yep.
That's all I saw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Kun Lun looks awful.
And everything
right?
else is just word
and
of mouth.
Like,
I remember the time where me and Davos would like skip training and
right.
like go get drunk. It was like,
oh, that's great.
Well, where's the bar scene?
You don't have to go too deep into it. They just touch upon it. Didn't see any of that other than the name. But when I first heard the name in the first couple episodes, I got so excited. So I'm like, I'm going to see Kunlun, and it never happened. The other thing is talking to training montage. I love training montages.
Same.
Right? Yep. Rocky movies would not be Rocky movies without training montages.
Nope. And Eye of the Tiger.
And I don't know what your favorite Kung Fu movie... One of my favorite Kung Fu movies was The 36th Chamber. And, you know...
yes!
Is that a man crush? All right. So, 36...
Sorry, Nikki. He's breaking up. He's only... He's leaving you for the same sex.
basically, the whole movie is one large training montage about how this monk goes through these different chambers, and each chamber he learns a different types of martial art until he becomes the master killer.
Right.
And
so good.
They mention Li Kang the Thunderer, right? There's one particular scene where Colleen threatens to hit him with a stick. And says, oh, you've never felt something like this. He's like, yeah, I have, from Li Kang. And then I just cheered again. I was like, oh, he said Li Kang. But we barely see him for a second.
Yeah.
But that's it. So Iron Fist needs a little bit of Kunlun, and they need a little bit of that training montage. You know, they really got to show where he comes from.
Especially when all they did was base stuff around there and talk about it.
They talk about it.
It's like, well, then let me see it.
It's not enough. It's not enough. You know, carry some buckets of water or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Steps.
Give me something. And some steps, yeah, on your hands.
Give me something. Burning hot iron with your forearms just to get to the other side of it.
That was missing. Show how he earned it. How he earned that iron fist, other than just talking about it. So, sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I had to jump in there.
That's basically it. If anything, you reinforced my opinion. But yeah, not enough of... Kunlun, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
So for myself, the one thing that I really liked about this show, and I don't know if other people, how they reacted to it, but I like Madame Gao.
Oh.
I thought she was a great villain, and I liked her from Daredevil because she was the one old lady in a group full of, you know, men who were killers, gangsters, corporate people, and she demanded the most respect out of that original group. Like, even Kingpin was kind of like, oh no, I'm not disrespecting you.
Yeah. She's the most frail looking one in the bunch.
She's frail, she's got she limps.
She's got strength though.
Yeah, and even her face, it looks like she's got that constant grin with her eyes kind of looking at you in a way, but you felt that Kingpin was scared of her.
Yeah.
So when she showed up and you hear her voice in Meacham's... penthouse, I got excited because I'm like, this lady scares me.
Yes.
And they're bringing back the hand, so that excited me, seeing them dig deep into the hand being associated with what we've already kind of been teased with Daredevil. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my favorite things. Episode 6, where he goes through the gauntlet, that was exciting because it reminded me of kind of what the Fraction Brubaker run was, where he was fighting people through different stages, a tournament. So that was like, okay, I poked my wife. I'm like, here we go. This is it. This is the show's gonna pick up right now.
Pride was so sick.
And I did like the drunken boxing fight.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
Excellent.
And Colleen Wing was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about her before the show, other than what I've read in Power Man, Iron Fist, and in Iron Fist books. Hmm. But she was my favorite character in the show.
Yep.
She intrigued me the most. To the point where I was almost wanting the show to be more about her.
Yeah.
Because she was such I don't know. I just felt there was a certain depth to her. There was surprises that you didn't expect to come out of her character. And, of course, Rosario Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
She's been a consistent, performer in all of these. She's the glue that holds it all together. And there was times where she would say things to the people in the show and I was thinking the same thing she was saying. It was almost like, does anyone else here not realize you're all stupid? That's how I was starting to feel watching it. I'm like, thank you. Why aren't the directors listening
to
her?
She grounded it.
Yeah. So,
fair enough. Yeah.
I really liked the female characters, actually, in the show.
Yeah.
Were probably my favorite out of the bunch.
Very strong.
That reminds me of a part where, I can't remember who was hurt, but then Rosario goes to Danny and she's like, can't you just heal him with your chi? And he was just like, yeah, but I used my chi, the Iron Fist earlier, and it drained my chi. And then in my head, I was like, this would be perfect if she just went in the kitchen, came back, and was like, here, have a Red Bull. And gives you wings.
But back to Madame Gao, I thought she was amazing. So, not only did she have that sort of smirk,
mm-hmm.
but didn't it feel like she was, like, everything she said was premeditative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, every single thing. Like, she knew, like, you know, exactly how this conversation was going to go. She had already won that little exchange before it even started.
Yeah.
I thought she was a great character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she always had you, had him against the ropes no matter what.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was almost like a Ra's al Ghul type of character where they already outsmarted the problem.
Yeah.
Chess player.
Yeah. It was great. And for the fact that she was so meager in her disposition, but even when she did the thing to him and showed her power, I forgot what
5-point
the force,
force
push. Force push. I was like,
yes.
She's like an evil Yoda. Like, this is gonna be awesome,
yeah,
right?
It.
Yeah. So
unless you're doing flips and stuff, no.
Yeah.
She loses the cane. She just starts doing
butterfly kick.
Yeah,
galore.
Something, right? I thought she was gonna start fighting at some point.
Starts tricking.
Yeah, I was actually waiting for her to have a fight scene.
So, you guys touched a little bit on the things that you were waiting to see. So let's get into sort of the bad
okay.
of the show. So I have a question. Who's the villain? What does Danny Rand want? Why is he in New York? And
yep.
who's the villain?
Yep.
See, all those things before, like, I got excited for the Iron Fist when it glowed. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I was like, jazz. I got the tattoo. I got pumped for
goosebumps.
Yeah,
and
like all that
at the mouth, looking
yeah.
like you have rabies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he went through the gauntlet fight, I
yeah.
was excited.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
before you continue,
yeah,
one of the best things that I found of like the earlier episodes, just as a martial arts like fanatic and like loving kung fu movies, the axe gang fight scene.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so cool.
Great.
That is a staple in the kung fu realm.
And they did it in a hallway.
And they
that
did
was
a hallway.
His hallway scene.
Yeah.
That
was pretty good.
Yeah.
So good.
And when he broke the axe on his hand.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He punched it like a Jeep.
He just looked, the guy just looked at it like,
word.
Oh.
Word.
Anyways, continue.
Let me gather my. So. I get excited for the name drops because of what could happen, but
yeah.
I'm at the point now where I'm past that. It's like when you hear Batman and Batman Forever say, you know, to Dick Grayson, oh, if you know, it's about this far to Metropolis, like, oh, he referenced Metropolis, but I don't care about that anymore.
Is it kind of like when you listen to a story that has no end point or has no goal or something, and it's just like a bunch of good things happening but no like substance to it.
Is it
kind of like that?
It's kind of like that, but it's like I'm past the point of being excited for them referencing things.
Yeah, it's more than just like this is this and this is this. Where what about like the rest
of
it?
There,
right? Yeah,
I get it.
Right,
and everyone nowadays is like, oh, I'm just happy they made a Batman Superman movie. I'm just happy that they're like.
But like the only
shouldn't
good part
you be more than that?
That was like Batman. And
you
want to
be happy for it too,
yeah.
not just the fact that
yeah,
it's out there.
It's not 2000. Like
yeah.
in 2000, right. We were happy when they made an X-Men movie. Like wow, they
yeah.
made an X-Men movie.
Was
that's
it good?
Cool.
No.
Well,
but
when that
it was
came,
good
when,
enough.
When it came out,
it was good enough.
Right. There was nothing to
enough.
Compare it to. So
there's
just the fact
exactly.
that it was good, we were like, hey, there's a live action Magneto and Charles Xavier looks like Charles Xavier.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was very exciting.
Right? And you see Wolverine pull claws out, you're like, wow, I can't believe that
like
I'm in
Wolverine.
A theater watching this. But I'm at the point where it's like, no. We're past that.
Especially since there's so much more examples of that happening.
Yeah.
You don't need to do it again and again.
Now it's like X-Men. Wolverine didn't even have his costume. Get out of here.
Right?
Don't remind us, okay?
Oh, no. Okay. It'll be there.
See, for me, once I saw in Avengers Age of Ultron, the fact
yeah.
that they made Vision.
Yeah. I was freaking out.
Okay,
that's big.
Do you guys freak out? It was kind of just like, okay.
I freaked out. I was like, fine.
That was great.
It's the fact that, wow, they put
Vision.
Yeah.
They've actually, for me, that was like, okay, there's nothing they can't do.
Yeah.
They can make this guy work.
Especially because Wanda was there as well.
Yeah.
It was like, I know where this is going.
Exactly. So once
they're
I saw that,
babies.
It's like, it's not good enough to just reference it anymore. let's do it.
Yeah.
So, but with what was the point of Danny Rand being in New York? What is
he
getting
his
name?
I agree 100%. So
listening
why?
To his iPod. So.
He was the protector of Kunlun. Like, why was he back? That's never told to you.
So, in the comic books, we know, right? He's there to find out what happens. Like, a very traumatic thing happens to young Danny Rand. He gets it's you know, and we find out why later in the comic books. But his mother gets eaten by wolves,
which they didn't show,
and all this stuff. The reason why he comes back is to find out what happened to his family in the comic books. But you never get that in the show. All you get is that I want to get my life back.
There's a lot of
and that's not enough. That's not enough, right? Like to me, that's not enough.
It just
right?
This guy to me, I watched it and I'm like, okay, he's if you're a martial artist, disciplined,
right.
And you've become the Iron Fist, you're extremely disciplined. You're not stupid. This guy was stupid.
Yeah.
Danny Rand was dumb. He walks into this and he's like, oh, I'm Danny Rand. He didn't think of any of the repercussions. There was no discipline in anything he did. It was just random and...
He played very emotional. Although, I will say one thing that was an interesting choice was giving Danny Rand PTSD. Like, getting him post-traumatic stress disorder in the show was kind of cool. Like, it was a very, like, if you think about it, as a 9-year-old kid who, you know, survives an airplane crash, his parents are killed, he gets carted off to, like, this other place where he's basically outcast.
And you put him on an airplane again.
He's completely outcast, right, because he's an outsider. The only person that likes him, although, again, this goes back to the comics, but not in the show because they don't really show this, is Brother Davos.
Yeah.
He's the only one that sort of befriends him, right? So he does start getting some of these flashbacks. So I thought that was an interesting choice, and it kind of makes sense in a real world situation. But I do think that the emotional levels, they swung too hard in this show.
Yeah,
like,
and the point you make about the PTSD is, we know that because we this is what he goes through in the comics, but you don't know that in the show.
Right.
No,
and
especially for a person who doesn't read. The books.
Exactly.
They're lost.
The only time you get it is when they're traveling again and he's in the plane and he's like shaking and everything.
Right.
He's like, oh, what's wrong? He's like, this is how I lost
my
parents. Like, you want to know what happened? My mom went through the roof when it opened up.
Right.
Like, and
right.
I watched it.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I thought that was kind of a good thing, but like that they kind of went there, but at the same time, you're right. I think that I don't know what was driving them. I don't know, you know, they threw the piece with the hand. Obviously, they're obviously setting up for something for the Defenders with the hand, it sounds like, which is cool.
Yeah.
But they still, like, they just kind of stumbled there, right, to this. They didn't have any drive. I don't know what he was doing either.
Well, the first seems like the villains he has are the Meacham kids.
Right.
Who, even, they're totally inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because one minute the chick is agreeing with her brother, Joy, right?
Joy, yeah.
And she thinks that her brother's, you know, God's gift to everything.
Yeah.
And then she helps Danny get the company back. And then and then the brother is putting him into an asylum. And then he's trying to help him.
At the end, yeah.
I just
hated that.
And it wasn't like, I didn't hate the characters because the same way I hated Cottonmouth or what's his name there? The guy from Jessica Jones, Purple Man.
Yeah,
Purple Man.
I liked him, but I as a character, I'm like, ooh, I hate him. He's evil.
It's the one you love to hate,
right?
Yeah.
Like you feel the way you're meant to. I'm watching
that.
I'm like,
he's worse than the books.
Purple Man is
way worse than
right.
the books.
Greatest character.
Terrible.
It was like for me, Joy's brother. Like that was the person I love to hate because like from the get go, he's totally antagonizing Danny. He doesn't care even if it's the slightest bit of the truth. But then at the end, it was like, oh, but I'm going to help you now.
But
I'm
it was back and forth constantly.
And it was like, what?
Sometimes
they're
helping him
exactly.
and welcoming him back.
Like,
and then they're bullying him all throughout the show. It's like, and I didn't hate them because they were bad. I just didn't like them at all.
They
get
were
them off of the show. The first four episodes was about them.
Yeah.
It was all about them.
And
in the boardroom.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It was extremely boring.
I saw more of that boardroom than
after
Kudlun.
4 hours. After 4 hours.
That's where the last fight scene is.
No, after 4 hours of a show, you didn't get to see the main character do what he's supposed to do.
No.
4 hours. That's bad. Like, I was sitting with my wife, and I'm like, she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, this is boring. These two characters are boring. They're rich kids that have absolute, like, what's their purpose?
Wow.
I think,
no?
So
yeah.
Ward, right? Who's the brother?
Yeah,
Ward.
So Ward, to me, Ward was a little bit of a caricature of the typical bully. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he was a character of a bully, and he was a little one-dimensional, and then, like you said, for no reason, he kind of changes face all of a sudden. I don't really get that. I know it's kind of despite his father, and you're trying to get that he's that way because his father's that way, but I don't know. I wasn't too crazy about that. Yeah, so...
And she's convinced it's Danny because of M&M's?
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Oh my god! He took the brown ones out! That's Danny. Who's writing this?
Oh my god.
I'm thinking to myself, what?
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it.
But that's what makes her help.
But she's like crying about it.
I mean, it's
I know,
it's
silly.
Cute. I'm not saying that I'm not a
it's
sucker.
It's a little comic booky, though. I know.
Yes,
it's kind of. It's not enough.
I know.
It's so
not
cheesy.
Enough, it's not enough for us because not only that, but they didn't even show that. Like when
right.
we were kids, he only ate the brownies. There was not. You didn't see that at
it.
All.
No.
It was just like, oh my god, what? It's Danny. How do you know? He took out all the brownies.
I explained it. Yeah.
So
and anything that he ends up doing with the company, he takes back. What he doesn't even care in the end about his company. Like
he's
barely
invested.
That's
the piece. So
he's not invested in what he's doing. He's got no direction.
I agree. So I'm thinking. Okay, so in the comic books again, he should be looking to find out what happened to his family, and either seek revenge or you know, why did this happen, right? So they decide to go. Instead of that, we're going to go the route of okay, I'm coming back and I want to regain my life. But then he throws it all away every time he goes in.
Yep,
he's like,
he
I'm
care.
Just going to give away millions and I'm going to be the nice guy, but
yep.
I really don't care. And I'm going to go walk down the street with barefoot. And, but I completely agree with you. I liked a lot of stuff about the show, but that kind of drove me nuts a little bit.
How about the first, when he goes to look for the files of his fingerprints? Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
He's
well,
the Iron Fist. And this guy can take him out. The first time you see him fight, some random thug is able to take out the Iron Fist.
And he's supposed to be, like, well-accomplished in martial arts. He's got the fist. He fought a dragon.
He's a champion of Kunlun.
Exactly.
So
he's supposed to protect a mystical
right.
city? Like, come on.
All right. We got to talk about Kung Fu. All right, so. All right,
you guys
so.
Take it away.
sorry. No, we're talking about in the show, right? So, okay, a couple of things. I didn't think a lot of the Kung Fu fights were terrible. Like, there's a lot of actually pretty decent moves if you break it down.
Yes.
What I found, though, is that, in my opinion, Finn Jones was not prepared enough to pull those action shots off. He didn't sell them to me. It looks like he was, you know, in a way dancing. And a part of choreography is dancing, but you gotta sell it. And you can't, you know, I see Daredevil. Daredevil has one of the greatest fight scenes ever.
And it's
I don't
not
know if you,
as technical.
If you guys seen a movie called Old Boy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So
I made her watch
very
that.
Similar to that.
We watched it
at
a party.
There's a hammer
yeah.
scene
that's
in that. So, and then Daredevil pulls off this thing in episode two, and then I became a huge fan after that. And I'm like, okay. But they did that all in two shots. I saw a video the other day of they're showing some scenes from Iron Fist, and there was a 35-second fight scene. I think it was the same one that's in that room. They took 56 cuts in a 35-second fight scene. And I read another article saying that Finn was saying that he only had about 15 minutes before the shot to learn the choreography
yeah,
in a lot of cases.
That.
And which apparently is normal for a lot of shows, because I was actually mentioning this earlier,
When I went to Comic-Con, I talked to that guy, Brett Dalton, who does the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. So I just went up and started talking to him. I was asking him about...
He talked to him. Great Park. Get a conversation with him and...
Great Park?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
I wanted to learn.
I didn't find out he was there until later that night. He posted a picture with all the Star Wars cosplayers, and it was just like,
I want to get Wushu kicked in the
face. Let him tell you why he got to talk to him for ten minutes in line.
I'll tell that story in one sec. But to that first point, so Brett Dalton. So I asked him the same thing. I go, because I think their show choreography is very good, and he was saying the same thing. He goes, listen, sometimes I learned it about 15 minutes before the shot. Mm-hmm. But they pulled it off a lot better, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Spartacus.
The Spartacus
show, during the show, and if you go on YouTube, there is a great video about Gladiator boot camp. And what they did is weeks and weeks and weeks before the show, they brought the entire cast for like just a pure
training session.
Training.
With
boot camp.
Diana
to get these
Lee
guys.
Santo
yes.
and Ron DeLicke.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And they learned this stuff inside out, and they should have done the same with Finn, right? And in my opinion, this show is about Kung Fu. They need to do that. Spartacus is about gladiators. They did that, right? So I do think, the choreography was okay, but he didn't pull it off. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I think it is too? It's just like, it's not really so much, obviously it's not the actor's fault. It's just,
right,
it's the choreographer's fault. It's the fight coordinator's fault, right? They should have been training him beforehand before doing all
this.
But
was it rushed? Maybe
right?
It was rushed. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, take more time into making these fight scenes better. There were points in the show where it's like, okay, yeah, that looked awesome, but why couldn't you do that for this fight scene,
right,
which would have been amazing for this fight scene.
Yeah.
So, I pulled out like the four that came to mind later. The compound fight, like the something like the Burly Brawl from the Matrix. They had all those guys coming to fight them at the end of the compound. In the end, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They had, like Colleen as they're trying to fight their way out. That was a cool fight. The axe fight that you guys talked about
yep,
was amazing.
Yep. So
I thought that was a classic kung fu fight. The Iron Fist breaking that, I thought that was a great touch to it. One of the ones I actually really appreciated was the one where he's fighting in the back of a van. It was one of the first fights in the show.
Yeah.
And he was doing a lot of very close infighting, and he's like doing straight blasts and things like that. I thought it was a pretty neat change of pace for a fight scene. And then the drunken the guard fight was also probably a big highlight as well. But I wanted more, and I don't want wire fu. I don't want elaborate kung fu moves that look ridiculous and would never pull it off.
Run on swords.
No, they don't need to do all. They don't have to run on the swords and do all the stuff. But they need
Flying
to be
trees.
Done. They need to be. I want to be able to see the kung fu. I want to see a 30-second fight, but maybe one or two cuts in it.
Yeah.
And I want to see them be able to pull that off. Right. So that's to me is still something that can be fixed. In the Defenders, it's still something that could be fixed in season 2.
Yeah,
and I think that they've had enough people talk about this that they must be going back. They've got to be listening to this.
I hope so.
Yeah. Sorry.
Who's the villain in the show?
That's
the thing.
Dad.
Madame Gao.
Bakudo.
I don't know.
So it's unclear.
All three.
Head. No, it's the head.
You're not wrong.
Ultimately,
the whole thing.
The villain usually is the one that you meet at the end, right?
Yes.
So in this case, this whole time, you got Meechum, the father, who's you don't even know what his goal is.
He should have been the villain.
He should have been. I think it could have been split in two. When I think back to Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage,
straightforward.
There's something each of them have in common. Even though Luke Cage had two villains, the shows were kind of split in half.
Yeah.
Where you saw what made Matt Murdock be Matt Murdock when he was a kid. You saw the relationship with his father. You saw him get trained by Stick. You saw him in college with Foggy. All of those things are established. So that when they do say, what was that Greek girl's name that you used to date? Whatever happened to her? You get excited because it's coming. Everything that he's going through, it's worthwhile for you to watch those scenes when him and Foggy are fighting. You have to see what their relationship's built on.
Yeah.
Right? And Jessica Jones, everything that she's traumatized from, you see what she lived through.
Yeah.
You see the fact that she did
something.
We have
to feel the same way.
But there's always that little bit of, here's where we're at. Here's where we came from.
Yeah.
Each episode kind of gets split like that, so you can be...
They build a connect.
There's an established reason why this is like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Luke Cage, he goes to jail, and you see, that's why he's Luke Cage, not Carl Lucas. I know why there's some sort of a history there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't get that in this show at all.
No.
And there's so much more material than all those other shows have. Like, why can't half the show be him and Kunlun after he's... found.
That could have been just
and the whole thing is just a kid being trained to the point where he has to go and defeat the dragon.
I watched 7 episodes of that.
Right?
Yeah.
You do half you just do half of that show of seeing him become the Iron Fist and then as a full grown adult, then he goes back to New York to reclaim his family name and
then
fight Meacham. Because he finds out, that's who did it.
Makes more sense that way.
And
it's
after
more cohesive.
Episode 6, that's where it should start, where this one started. He gets out of Kunlun and he walks and he gets there. Like, there's no obstacle. Like, you don't see how he suffered in Kunlun and all that.
You don't
like,
see
you
no
don't
training.
See,
you don't see
and
any
like,
sort of buildup of a character. You don't see the relationship that's supposed to be important with Davos, so that when he does show up, you're like, you just see this guy traveling through the city. You're like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And you have no clue who it could be. When you see Elektra, you're like, that's Elektra.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
see Kingpin, you're like,
that's Kingpin.
Kid. That's
no
question. Fisk.
That's Fisk.
Right?
That's the boss man.
He mentions Davos like once earlier, right? My friend Davos.
Yeah.
And then he shows up. But it would have been so great if they showed him, like you said, as soon as he sort of gets there, how he's ostracized for being an outsider, and then how Davos sort of takes him under his wing a little bit, just a little bit of that. So that when Davos shows up, it's more impactful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was still kind of freaking out when Davos like,
well, yeah,
but
because
I,
you know.
But I, but like, when he shows up, I'm like, it's my girlfriend. I was like, is that Davos? Is that Davos? And she's like, I don't know. Like, and when, she, when he was like making foil like ninja stars, I was like, that's Davos. That has to be Davos.
Wouldn't
that's got to
be
Davos.
Wouldn't
that's Davos.
It be nice though if your girlfriend understood where you were coming from, if she had more information about it, instead of just being thrown into a thing and be like, I don't know, I guess I have to guess. I guess I have to be as excited but not know anything, you know? It's not as much fun.
You know what another thing that show was lacking? Everyone was just like, oh, Daredevil, Daredevil. Okay, this is how he becomes Daredevil. Oh, we're so hyped for it. Luke Cage, this is how he becomes Luke Cage. We're so hyped for it.
It's the hype.
And then it was like, you get Danny Rand walking in New York.
Right.
Oh, I'm the Iron Fist.
Right.
So what?
Right, you're there.
Like, not only that, not only...
How did
like,
he earn it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't earn those moments.
And on top of that,
how did he earn it?
They could have established like the past
montage.
Iron Fist with the training montage and exposure of Kunlun.
Yes.
They could have been like, we're training you to become or to pick out an Iron Fist, a protector of the mystical city of Kunlun. These are the past Iron Fists. These are the legends. Like, have build the myth out of like, this person did that, this person did that, this person used a bow and arrow. And then, like, be like, okay, so you know how we're all excited for the costume reveal and everything? Have, like, a reveal of, like, the mask. Just on a head, like, a mannequin head, just to be like, yo, the Iron Fist is going to be wearing that. Okay, this is what we're going off for the costume. Or just, like, the symbol of the crest on a green shirt or something.
Have the hand somehow got a hold of Orson Randall's mask.
Yes.
And he takes it and he uses that.
And at the end...
Somehow, like...
If they wanted to make Davos evil at the end, be like, okay, then
he has to lose a hand.
No, or he ends up getting the purple version of the Iron Fist mask.
Yeah,
still certain.
Exactly, and then he would.
And then he loses the hand.
And then he would be like, nope, we gotta trade something. You can't have both the tattoo and the mask.
Familiar. going back to X-Men.
But yeah, build it up. But see, like, make them care about the Iron Fist.
With Daredevil, he's not in costume that whole first season until the last. But
no,
it's an established thing that he did once wear this black costume before he got that other suit.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, we're embarrassed about the red suit. We don't want to put him in it, so we're just going to make him wear black. No, this is actually
something that he actually wore in the comics.
Yeah, it's canon, and we're going to work with it, and we're going to make this even cooler than him wearing a jogging suit.
Yep.
The thing is that's actually pretty terrifying. If you just see all black and just a mouth, where's his face?
Exactly. So why couldn't
he's talking to me? And he can see me.
Version. Like, there's been so many versions of that outfit, Slenderman.
And that's part of the reason why the kung fu and the martial arts, for the most part, not everything, but it sucks for what it could have been because they never put a mask on.
Nope.
Right.
That's harsh.
Put a mask on because it could have been a real martial artist doing those scenes the way they did with Daredevil.
Yeah.
So I don't think you had to make him be in the disco suit with the big collar.
I wanted that, okay?
Sure. But Jessica Jones is dressed like Jessica Jones from the comics. Luke Cage, for the most part, is dressed like Luke Cage. And they referenced that dumb
very
suit.
Yeah. I like that suit, okay?
Which was a nice little homage, and it was good enough.
And they did it in a way that made sense.
Yeah. Give us a little more green, a little more yellow.
Yeah.
Why can't you
put a dragon somewhere else other than your chest?
Do something.
Put it on the chest. Make it exactly the way it should be. Address the fact that he is from this weird city. Even do a cameo of Madame Gal there watching him.
So did you guys see the little trailer for the Defenders where they're in the elevator?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking. I had a quick glance, and then I see the guy with the Iron Fist mask. And at first I'm like... It's Iron Fist. Yes. No, wait. Iron Fist is standing. Oh, it's Daredevil. And I'm like, right? And I'm thinking, he's got to have at least a little piece of that costume. He's got to give us something, right? Like,
and don't cheat us out of it. Don't just give him a little sash. Though.
No.
Or yellow slippers.
I don't need the yellow slippers. Cool. I don't need the yellow slippers, but the mask. At least the mask.
Yeah.
But isn't the fact that you confused Daredevil for Iron Fist, if he would have come back to New York with that suit, so people would have confused it as Daredevil.
Yeah.
Daredevil's running around, and that could have been a connecting point to be like, why is there someone going around to the city looking like me with that type of mask?
Didn't he become Daredevil for a while in a series?
He did.
Like, he did, right? Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
So for him to go around, let's say dark green instead of bright green and yellow, or like a dark green or something like that at nighttime, people could say the Daredevil's around doing what he does, and it's him the whole time. Like, they could have done things like that.
Do the Game of Death outfit that Kari Andrews did in his comic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? He's in a dojo.
Right.
And I mean,
it's just simple.
You
just
have something to
pick it up
and put it on.
Yeah,
like, he's in there. He's there.
Do it.
Exactly.
And give them the three section staff while you're at it.
So is that, and they didn't have to do it, but just a little bit of Luke Cage in it. Just
absolutely
a hint that
absolutely
he's there to tie
and
this
just
show.
The shirt.
I was waiting for that too.
To tie this show, and I thought they were going to do it, to tie the show to the Defenders. Just they should meet, even if they crossed paths on a street, that would have been enough for me.
Yeah.
Right? Just to have that little tie into the Defenders, because I guess they're going to meet in the Defenders, but it would be great if they had just a little bit of history before they got there.
It's going to be a while before that.
Oh my god, we can't
this year?
Wait.
It's,
you cannot.
It's going to be a while.
You know what I want to see from the Defenders, though? I want to see Luke Cage throw Iron Fist.
I want to see Luke Cage
fastball
special Iron Fist into a bunch of hand ninjas.
She's like, the plural form for ninjas is just
ninja. Yeah, I know. I get it every
you
day.
Stupid.
Stupid head.
So did anybody else find Danny Rand to be an idiot?
Yeah, he was like,
he's pretty
was so childish.
I gotta say, I saw that water thing coming a mile away when I got drugged. I was like, what are you doing? Why do you trust these people? They've given you no reason to trust them.
Have you seen the
have
new
some
cartoon? It's a cartoon. Was it Ultimate
Spider-Man? Yeah.
Danny Rand is a little bit stupid in that too.
he's pretty ditzy.
When it comes down to business, he's actually pretty, like, when he's fighting, he's pretty serious, pretty grounded. He knows what he's doing. From what I'm hearing from you guys, it sounds like he's not the same character as this. He's just that stupid.
Sit down and
watch Ultimate Spider-Man.
Watch episode one. Just episode one, and then, like...
I heard a lot, and it was a lot of, she lied to me, and I don't know what the heck
that means. So I can see Danny Rand as being a little naive and ignorant, because half of his life was spent... in a monastery, away from the world. I don't know where he learned how to drive a car. Just saying.
He drove a car.
So I can understand he would not know the bigger world, and he would be taken advantage of to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's common sense to an extent, and I think that's where you're coming from.
That's the thing. It's like you're a martial artist. You've been trained by like the most disciplined and skilled people. Like, in what? What would we could consider? Like dimensions?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't get higher than that. So for him to be able to read people should be part of that training, right? You read body language as a martial artist. You can see what someone's about to do. So you would think, I can't trust this guy because he's out for his own gains. This guy put me in an insane asylum. This girl turned on me a bunch of times. I'm not going to listen to them anymore. They should have been taken out early of the show, but they kept right to the very end. And then Joy Meacham, she sees her father for the first time, and she's all in. Like, and he just followed whatever they said. One minute he's following the sister, one minute he's following the brother, and the whole time he's being fooled by the dad. It's like, this kid. It makes no sense.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring it around. My favorite thing.
Let's be light.
You're giving me a downer now. My favorite thing. Sorry.
It's okay.
They're good points, though.
Because you guys you liked it, so I'm thinking you guys would be able to explain it to me.
Yeah.
That's why.
So.
But tell me your favorite
thing. I got you some. All right. I got you. And it had nothing to do with Danny Rand. That's my favorite thing. So, this actually made me really excited. And the more I thought about it, I realized how brilliant this was. It was nothing that I expected was going to be in this. It was, how do you create loyalty, right? You take a street kid who has been abandoned by their parents, has been abandoned by society, and you give them a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I think of, like, The Hand, I always thought it sort of militaristic type training camp and things like this. This was built like a cult.
Yeah.
And they started them young, and they gave them that family. It's a part of their family. And it's not about money. It's not about that. It's, I'm going to be a part of The Hand because I owe these people, and these are my family.
And they believed it.
And I thought that twist was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the way that they built The Hand to be, it's just insidious, right? Because they brought these kids in, and they will just do whatever, you know, they'll do anything to these kids because they gave them a family. The outside world threw them away, and these are the people that brought them in, and these are the people that I'm going to follow for the rest of my life. And I thought that was the best part of the show.
Yeah, I thought so too. You're right. That was the best part. That's a portion where I was like, okay, now everything's going to unravel, and you're going to see the big... Because I thought the kid from Transformers was going to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okudo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I thought that's where... the whole time
he was Tony Robbins.
He's the puppeteer, right?
Yeah.
Controlling everybody,
right?
And he just disappears.
And
there's no what's the word? I don't know what the right word, but like a payoff. There's no nothing conclusive about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no climax.
The other thing I kind of liked about that piece too is that Danny Rand wasn't even aware. There's a point where Madame Gao says, "Do you even know where you are?"
Yeah,
right. It fooled him. Okay, Danny was
the
brightest guy, but
that didn't surprise me because like this guy is just falls for everything.
But it was so subtle, and the way, you know, they didn't try to strong arm him. They're like, oh, this is an inviting place. We want you to stay, and join us, and you have your family here, and his other family rejects him. Right,
yeah.
The Meachums rejects him. So we'll take you in. We'll train you. Right.
And not only that, but they were like, kids you've helped train here too, and they're doing good for themselves. They got scholarships and whatnot.
Right.
And then he finds out they're the Hand and is like,
right.
Yeah.
So how genius is that? And And they even turn on Colleen. Colleen, the first person to bring them, they turn them so much that they actually turn on Colleen.
Yeah, that was cool.
Right? I thought...
And that little link to Daredevil that they had.
Little link.
That was cool.
Was great.
Speaking of which, I think, like, the next thing that they're going to do, like in terms of Defenders...
Okay, no. Stop laughing.
You know how, like, Shadowland was just terrible?
Oh, God. But it wasn't shown. You don't see it.
And what do you call it? In Daredevil? And, like, the Daredevil run?
What was
the Andy Diggle Daredevil stuff?
I don't remember.
Did you read any of Andy Diggle's Daredevil?
No.
Shadowland. Okay, anyways, I'm thinking that, like, that's gonna be what the first season of Defenders is.
Oh, God, I hope not.
But except without Daredevil being possessed by evil demons.
Was
and
it
stabbing people.
Was it a hand story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, the hand.
So this is the other piece too that I didn't understand, right? So at the end of Daredevil, you have Stick. Stick is fed up with Daredevil. He's like, okay, these guys are jokers. I'm going to go get some. Like, I thought this was sort of a transition into the Iron Fist world, but we don't see Stick again. So I guess this is going into Defenders,
thing,
maybe?
Yeah.
Like,
but you hear him in the Defenders trailer. He's like, you think you fucking save New York?
Right.
Which is what I'm saying. The hand. Shadowland.
Well, it's definitely going to be about
the hand.
Yeah,
everything's coming to
and I'm saying, like, Shadowland, but Daredevil's not going to be the leader. It'd probably be Elektra.
Because they have Elektra. And they could bring her back.
But I think they established they did.
But if they did Shadowland,
there's a story.
It wouldn't be Daredevil running the head. It would be Elektra running the head.
It's
because they already have Elektra, and they're going to bring her back.
It's
just like how they did with
Madame
Gao
as well.
Yeah.
There's a story that I've read. It's about Psylocke. She's one of my favorite characters. She had a run-in with the hand. Do any of you know any stories about Psylocke?
I know the character.
Okay. We
all
know Psylocke.
Yeah.
Do you want to sleep on the couch? Okay. With Psylocke, a lot of people used to say she was half Japanese and half English. And I said, no, that's not what it is. She is actually inside, her brain is inside of the body of a Japanese woman who used to be in love with the past leader of the hand, and his name is Matsuo Soryaba. And he is completely insane. He drove Psylocke insane, killed her, brought her back to life. She's died like 3 times, I think. And she's like come back as crazy, and it kind of like, do you know the Excalibur X-Men run? And you know how she had that thing on her eye? That was because
my father has it now.
That thing on her eye, yeah.
Red,
it's because she was she was this woman named Kwannon, and she was the lover of Matsuo Soryaba. Kwannon.
What's Kwannon?
She's gonna beat you up, Jess.
She's gonna beat all of them.
Did I interrupt when you talk? Okay, anyways, it was just because of the hand. The hand was like the main reason why she was going insane. And then people started hating her, and people started saying, why didn't you stay dead? Like what Emma Frost said to her. They're like,
that sucks.
When you die, can
that's
you just
rough.
Stay dead? And she's just like...
That's what we say about Jean Grey.
She's like... She will never stay dead.
That was good.
Don't like Jean Grey either.
Can you
the hand,
just not?
I'm not a very big fan of the hand because of the crazy things that they do.
Okay.
Whoa.
That was
it creeps you out.
I mean...
A lot.
I mean, they did try to turn Daredevil into, like, a demon and made him...
They're all about that. Have you seen them in the comic books? They have, like, glowing eyes. Why?
And they also don't die.
And they all, like, fly like this.
And
it's
they turn
weird.
Into dust when you can... Oh, my God. The hand
are
a bunch
turn.
Of vampires. I got it. I cracked it, guys.
He watches Twilight a lot.
So.
He read the books, and he really liked
them. Twilight Cast.
I like vampires. I blame Blade.
That's not
speaking of Blade.
He needs a Netflix series.
I was just about to ask, who do you guys want?
Moon Knight!
Sticky Fingers! Oh.
Wait,
Netflix
what?
Series, if you could choose a character.
Okay.
Realistic. So, obviously, it's not going to be like the big ones, because they're going to probably save those for the movies, but
yeah.
Street-level characters... Who would you guys...
Moon Knight.
Okay. That's on my list.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
We're already at Iron Fist.
It's on my list.
Do it,
see,
man.
You know what? I was I was kind of upset that, like, the guy that they got to play the Drunken Master guy in Iron Fist was a Drunken Master guy. I was, like, when I heard that he was cast in it, right? I was like, oh, okay, he could be like Shang-Chi. He kind of looks like it, too.
You know who I want to do Shang-Chi? Storm Shadow. The guy that plays Storm Shadow.
You mean the Korean dude?
Right, from the movie.
Dude, why not?
He's like 45.
And
so?
Same.
But if they do Shang-Chi, it's got to be like...
It's got to be a little bit.
Because Shang-Chi, he wasn't just a kung fu guy. He was also kind of an FBI undercover guy, too, right?
He
they got to do that.
Bond.
He was James Bond.
He was former CIA.
Yeah, right. They got to do that story.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Any other...
I'm trying to think of... I wasn't expecting that question.
I made notes.
But when you say street-level character, is that someone that is...
Well, who do you think would belong in that Netflix realm?
There's a lot of people that could, like...
Yeah.
Ghost Rider, Blade...
So it'd have to also be a little bit more of an edgier character as well, right?
Potentially. Like we know Punisher's
or
coming,
not.
Right?
Yeah,
or not. I mean, a Spider-Man Netflix series would be awesome.
It could have been Deadpool.
I would like
that
to see,
up to proportions.
I would like to see a Ms. Marvel series. I think that would make a really good
Kamala Khan.
I think
she would do great in that world too.
Yeah, especially if you tell the story over 13 episodes of, and I think it would attract a lot of different viewers. It has diversity,
yeah.
But in that type of a group, I wouldn't put a Kamala Khan. She's still young and inexperienced in life in a way, but
that would be a good contrast. Like the new Spider-Man with the Avengers being a teenager. Miles Morales.
That would make a good
great series. Yes, I didn't think of that one actually. That'd be good. I thought you guys kind of hit some of the big ones too. You hit some of the big ones, but Moon Knight, White Tiger. I don't know if you're familiar with that character. They could do like a little like Iron Fist kind of thing there. Shang-Chi, I picked Blade. Bullseye, I think, would
oh
be a
my
really
god,
cool
that'd be
character
awesome
to be in that
world. I would like to see more of the Immortal
as a show, his own show, or just in the show, because I think he's going to show up.
Put him in Daredevil.
Bullseye will
put him in Defenders.
Sure. I think he could do both. I think it'll be tough to. I think he could be a hero. I could be an anti-hero. I think he could.
He's
depending
too crazy.
On how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a murderer, though.
Yeah.
There's a female Bullseye,
Hawkeye.
Though.
Do the Matt Fraction Hawkeye.
Hawkeye would be fantastic.
Hawkeye Guy, as they called him.
That's right. Wolverine would have a good Netflix series. Do him traveling, have him in Japan with Yukio.
Oh. He should be in everything. He's my favorite superhero.
Okay.
He should be in everything, but unfortunately, they wouldn't have the rights.
You know what would be good to have their own series? I think would be Black Widow. That would make
yes,
series.
Black Widow,
sick.
Yeah.
That'd be
crazy.
I don't think she gets enough credit in the movies.
That would be a great call. Yeah.
Yeah, but if she had a Netflix series where she was, you know, a Shield agent or spy on, like you said, traveling the world kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and really showing her chops because she's awesome.
Yeah.
And her lately in the comic book, she's got a lot of good material that you can really build off of with the Red Room and all that stuff. That would be really interesting.
The most recent,
I have to read that. I heard it's
Black Widow.
You told me it's good.
Yeah, the Mark
Wade.
Yeah,
so good.
Fantastic.
I want to see Storm.
I want to see Winter Soldier,
a good cool version
Storm,
of Storm
like
proper.
Before she became
an
X-Men when she was like
she was
young
old.
And she was a thief.
Yeah.
And her going through
Shadow
like
Buster,
life and
whatever.
trying to get away from
that was
him.
Some messed up stuff.
That was messed up. And when she was traveling back like to America and making it there and trying to be accepted and being scared of humans and all of that,
cool, so.
That would be very.
I
want to
see a movie
good.
Like that.
It's she has a lot of depth to her character, and a lot of people don't show her credit for it.
And her whole claustrophobia thing, you could do that there
yeah.
on Netflix.
And then her and
her being
Black
alive.
Panther.
Black Panther would be great.
That would have tied in with him.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be good.
Yeah.
I was thinking
yeah.
Black Panther.
Unfortunately, Fox.
I know,
right?
Fox. I know. There was a cartoon that was actually pretty good. It was like Black Panther and Storm. I don't know.
Really
we watched it for a little bit. It was really good.
I'd love to see I'd like to see a Gambit. If we had opportunity.
Oh, Gambit.
Yes.
I think that would be a very cool Like, oh, again, do it in New Orleans, do it, like, separate. Yeah. Maybe have some sort of crossover.
Have the jazz music and everything.
Punch your jazz hands down.
You don't like Gambit? You know how much Bojutsu you could put in there?
Bojutsu.
Smack him with a bow staff.
So other than Moonlight, who else would you want to see? In the Netflix series? Or in this particular world?
Like, I'm thinking in the Netflix. I mean, you know, we could go on about all Marvel characters, but I think it's in this.
Like Phantom X. That'd be cool.
Oh my god, you said my favorite character.
I thought you were going to have a heart attack.
Almost. It was the same way you had a heart attack throughout this whole conversation.
Now I think about that.
I'm going to regret it. When I go home, I'm going to look at my comic shelf and I'm like, oh, I could pick that, could pick that.
Yeah, we're going to read tonight.
I'll give you a heads up next time.
Do you have any more that you thought of?
Like, I kind of picked those because I wasn't thinking of, like, going, like, if Marvel had the rights to Fox and stuff like that. Because, yeah, I could have, like, I love the X-Men, so I could just pick any of them, right? Just bring them in, like, Nightcrawler would be great. But I think some of the key ones, like Shang-Chi, makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moon Knight makes a lot of sense, right? Like I'm Marvel. Let's do Batman before DC, right?
Gosh.
He's not quite Batman, but he's kind of Batman.
Pretty darn close.
Kind of Batman. Crazy Batman.
Yeah.
Crazy Batman, three different personalities.
I think
he's got the
great
gimmick.
Yeah.
And I think Blade would play really well as a TV show.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta get Wesley Snipes back on that.
Or Sticky Fingers.
He's very old and tired. Okay, leave Wesley Snipes alone.
Hey,
he could still do it.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, but he's still tired.
But you make him like the mentor, right? Or something like that, right?
That's a good idea.
Make him the Whistler.
Let's make this happen. Let's make this happen.
Make
you know
him the
people.
See?
All right.
Call DMC.
Let me call DMC.
To call this guy.
DMC knows Wesley.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna. I'll call Brett.
You're killing us
Brett.
Here.
But I thought that was interesting. Because I'm always thinking about this. Like, who would I want to see
me
now?
Too. Moon Knight would be really cool.
Nick Fury. Give him
cool.
a Netflix series.
Don't care enough for that. Sorry.
But
that'd be
awesome.
Cool.
That'd
be
hell. That'd
be cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
That'd be cool. Hey. Dude, like, you can have him with the Howling Commandos and stuff too.
Howling Commandos.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I'd like to see a period.
That'd
one,
be
a period piece. But it wouldn't be in this world. But I heard this Netflix thing. With Orson Randall.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
An Invader series?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of a Defenders, you take all of those older characters and you put them back in period
pieces. Oh, that'd
be
cool.
That's a good idea.
Are they doing that?
Time travel!
Oh, gosh.
I thought they were doing Invaders. Well, maybe not.
War 2.
I'm not sure.
No, not Invaders.
I swear the only person that would enjoy that is Winter Soldier.
Something I'm familiar with.
I want to see X-Force as a TV show. I've talked about it with him for the longest time. Not Uncanny, just X-Force. Because Uncanny has a lot of big names.
Like original X-Force? Like after New Mutants into X-Force?
X-Force.
Or have the whole Feral team.
With
X-23.
Wolverine.
Warpath.
They both look the same.
And Wolfsbane. And that whole book about
Wolfsbane
going crazy. And they're like, let's fix her.
I don't think they're going that way, though.
We should
talk about Wolverine another time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would just probably be X-23 then.
Oh, she could have her own Netflix series, X-23. I mean,
she's
going to
have her own movie.
She's big.
She's
going
to have her own movie.
I think with
movies,
the New Mutants or X-Factor, I think that's where that's going.
Yeah.
But
I think with movies, it's easy to disappoint with a movie
because
they can cut out so much.
Well, unfortunately,
that's how you lose
a lot of the character
development. Yeah, but that's kind of like with Game of Thrones when George R. R. Martin was like, they came to him and they were like, let's do a movie on your books. And he's like, there's too much. You're going to cut out everything.
Yeah.
Let's put it into a show because then you can explain it better.
Yeah.
I think she has way too much depth for you to put it in a movie
right.
and then condense it to like 2 hours.
I think a lot of these shows are better done in these 13 episode.
Comic
book is episodic, right?
Yeah.
And you
absolutely.
Take your time building these characters. And I always wanted to see a 13
episode
Batman
episode.
Show.
Yeah.
You know, you
yes.
make it the long Halloween and each
yes.
issue is an episode.
Oh,
you don't gotta
book.
Do it. Or Hush.
Or Hush.
Yes.
No. Hush requires, I think, too much backstory knowledge of what each character is, right? If
that's
you,
true.
You don't
Hush
have to
has, like,
make
a huge
it,
cast.
You don't have to make it exactly like the book, but you can style it in that way where
Court of Owls.
Yeah, something
yes.
like that, right? Where you tell these stories. I thought
Death
yeah,
of the
know.
Family.
Court of Owls is
that's
really psychological
a lot.
Too.
Death
yes.
of the Family.
That that's
Court
a
of
lot.
Owls
that's
could be
too
six,
much.
Six
Death of the Family requires
yeah.
way more backstory.
You just want
all the deaths.
He just wants death.
Endgame. I don't care. Let's do it.
Too much.
We need more contacts to make these things happen.
Yeah. I'd actually like to see.
You need to know everybody.
I got some ideas.
Nightfall as. An entire season.
My fault would be great.
Half of it is him sick and trying to protect Gotham City, and the other half is Bane studying
starts,
him.
Starts
How did
with
we move
Vengeance
to
of
here?
Bane story. The real Vengeance of Bane story.
Yeah.
And have Azrael in it.
It always gets back to Batman.
That's
yeah,
what I just
yeah,
said.
Yeah.
I was like, how did we get
yeah,
here?
If it's
oh,
not God. The Grayson jokes.
Oh, man. That was brutal.
Don't do
yeah,
that.
Azrael. I have Azrael Batman.
No.
Yes.
I'm
oh,
tired.
Yes.
I don't like Azrael. He's a terrible person.
He's a terrible costume. Have you seen it? Oh
it
my fuck,
it's everywhere.
Which one, though?
The colored
one.
One. Not the red one. The other one.
The blue one?
The Joe
yeah,
Quesada Batman
one.
One.
Ugh.
Ugly one.
Still, that'd be awesome.
Pockets everywhere. Everything
how,
was armored.
How hyped would you see a reveal trailer for that, though? Like,
no.
just to see the suit. Just
no.
be like,
no. I don't like Azrael.
I don't believe him right now.
What?
I don't, yeah, no, I don't believe him either.
I don't believe you right now.
You would like it.
No.
You don't,
I don't
until
believe
he says
no.
it. And he's
I
like,
don't
exactly.
like Azrael. He's the one Batman character that I'm like,
Is there one superhero comic book genre movie that you did not like? Can you think of one that was like, I hated it. It was horrible. Because you're the one guy I know, like, yeah, I liked
TikTok,
it.
TikTok.
Fantastic Four?
Oh, really?
You liked Fantastic
Four?
I didn't watch
Fantastic Four.
Wait,
okay,
the
no.
new one or the old
it
one?
It doesn't matter.
They were
Fantastic
all crap.
You liked the last Fantastic Four?
I liked
Four.
The first two Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty good.
You see what I mean?
Those were
those
both.
Pretty good.
Those were kind of.
Galactus is a.
Oh, X-Men
other
Origins.
Other than Galactus.
X-Men Origins
no.
Wolverine.
You liked X-Men
there,
Origins?
No, he didn't like it.
Oh, thank God. I was just about to say we ending this friendship.
We quit.
I will say there's parts of X-Men Origins.
Don't.
Yes,
there's
yeah.
parts.
Yeah,
there are parts.
I
there's parts.
Hold on,
you didn't
hold on.
Say parts?
Which parts?
If there's good
Wop.
Things of Iron Fist,
of,
there's good things of X-Men Origins.
We
yeah.
could, we could save
like
that
Blob.
For another story. Like the flashbacks with Sabretooth.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought
that's
that was like 5 minutes.
That was a
the intro.
I'm not saying there was a lot.
The
like
intro.
That,
that
was,
intro.
Like
that
was a
3 hours
book.
Long.
That was
that
a comic book come to
little
life.
Bit
right
yeah,
there.
That was,
scene.
That was good.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
One scene is not enough to redeem a whole movie.
I didn't say that. I just.
I like the Wolverine.
It has its little shiny moment.
Yeah, the Wolverine was great.
The Wolverine. I did enjoy
the
Wolverine.
The Wolverine was a good movie.
Okay.
All
right. It
was awesome.
We should.
Engines.
So getting back to Iron Fist, talking about Batman
sorry.
Again. Any final thoughts of where maybe you wanna, what you wanna see in the second season? If
I
wanna
see Shang-Chi.
Yeah, you wanna see Shang-Chi.
I wanna see Shang-Chi. I wanna see Kunlun. I wanna see the other mystical cities. I wanna see Fat Cobra.
I wanna see Mortal
or?
Kombat. Like
Fat Cobra.
I want to see
yeah.
I want to see Fat Cobra slap Danny Rand in the face so hard that his mask falls off.
I want to see Orson.
I like
Rando
to see a mask.
Bullets.
Dog Brother Number One.
I like to see. I'd
like
to
like
see Iron Kombat. Fist in a mask.
I want
to
see Davos
yes.
without a hand.
I want to see Davos fighting Danny.
I can't stop thinking about Game of Thrones when you say Davos.
Davos, yeah, I think yes. I think
sorry.
Davos should absolutely. It looks like he was starting to lean that way, but Davos should be the villain. And the next one,
yeah,
yep.
After whatever they're doing with the hand,
it
of defenders.
Seems like they're doing a fusion of Matt Fraction's Iron Fist and
mm-hmm.
Kari Andrews' Iron Fist, where Joy Meacham is that girl that he meets in the first issue of Kari Andrews' Iron Fist,
the interviewer.
Yeah,
I yeah,
that girl.
I'd like.
Chicky, as you would call.
I
it.
I want to watch. The second season, I just wanted to feel like Iron Fist, like a definite. There's Kunlun. There's the training.
Yes.
Let's get into the.
I want to see him punch someone, and then they just disappear.
And I want to see him know how to use the Iron Fist because he seemed to have
mm-hmm.
a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And he had other people who he never had to need help from.
You can heal her with the Iron Fist.
Like, how does he's that like, guy know more about
hell?
The Iron Fist than him?
He's like, this whole time I was just doing Falcon Punch.
Bring in Orson Randall to take him under his wing.
Yes.
Teach him.
Cheap bullets.
In the background, make sure Finn knows his choreography. And that's how you fix it, really.
Yeah.
Like, right? And at the end, he passes the mantle over to him and he gets the suit, right? Like, that's the way I picture it.
I want to see.
And that could happen in like 4 episodes.
I want to see Alcoholic before Orson Randall.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has to start like that.
Yeah.
Alcoholic Orson Randall.
Yeah, where he's
trying to block his chi with the alcohol. And I want to see Lake Kong the Thunderer.
Wow.
And I want to see him in costume too. Like in battle gear, if anything.
Hopefully they answer our request. You made a good point when we were talking about this the other day.
Which one?
No, we were talking about the other day, and I really liked how you put it. You said about the damage done,
right?
In comparison,
yes.
why don't you share it?
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, for me, when I watch a superhero show, I could put up with a lot. I could put up with changes from the story. I have no problem, as long as the character is true to that character, right? For me, Iron Fist, the biggest crime that Iron Fist had was that some parts were mediocre, but they didn't do damage to this character. In my opinion, and I hate to keep bringing it up, like Batman versus Superman, murdering Batman did a lot of damage to who that character is, because Batman would not do that. And it's going to be hard for me to believe that he's going to change like this, in my opinion, right? But I don't think they did the damage to this character. I think they just didn't show enough, and I think there's things missing, and I talked about the things that were missing.
I think that
they could correct it.
Yeah.
They could quite easily correct it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Batman fan.
I mean, I was happy with him killing.
I was too mad.
I was mad about it, and I don't even care that much about Batman.
Well, I know a lot of people didn't mind it. I heard other people, like, I know people that said to me that they actually liked it too. They liked him getting edgier. But for me, that's not my Batman.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, I used to argue with him about like Deadpool and like him killing and then Batman like not killing, and he's just like, yeah, but Batman's got this ethic, blah, blah, blah. And then once we saw the killing happening, he's just like, it's fine. I'm like, what happened to the guy that like told me that killing was wrong and all of this stuff? Nothing is computing.
Here's the thing though, Batman generally isn't
That's
a
Batman.
Nice person to begin.
Sorry.
That doesn't mean he
right?
can't
yeah,
just
I mean,
like go on.
He throws sharp things into people's faces.
Animated series Batman.
Yeah, but you, but like, yeah, but the thing is, you can't just go back
that's
on
a
what
kid
you
version
want.
Of Batman. Come on.
Even Daredevil doesn't kill, right?
Yep.
Right.
And that's
he's pretty
and
rough.
And he puts people into their place.
Yeah, he's rearranging faces.
Oh,
and Batman's always said, he's like, you're gonna be going.
It's
to
my one
tonight.
Rule.
He will break bones.
Your bones are broken, but you'll live.
Right.
Yeah.
He's always been that way.
He doesn't shoot guns.
No. But
see,
you know what?
But that's the thing. Like, modern day Batman would do this.
No.
Not necessarily.
No.
I disagree. Like, I'll bring it back to the Netflix shows, but my favorite part of the Daredevil season 2
mm-hmm.
was the scene on top of that roof with the Punisher.
Yeah.
Right? And how, you know, they had sort of had this back and forth where they had these two
moral ethics,
right? Where Punisher is thinking that Daredevil is a half measure,
yeah.
right?
right?
And Daredevil is like, if you're crossing that line, right? Then why are you doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And that I thought the world needs that balance. They need that yin yang, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about Batman, but Batman needs to have that moral compass. And anyway, damage like that, in my opinion, that was damage done. In this story, I think there's things that are missing. I think that they need a little bit more direction, but damage was not done, and I think they could correct this. And I was still happy that there's the Iron Fist show, and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it.
I mean, just as long as
and
they
I'm
elaborate
for the
on
next
everything
one.
Else.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like,
and
we're,
I want a costume.
We're obviously going to get a second season of all of these other shows, right? We got a second season of Daredevil. We're going to be getting a second season of Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, all these other guys, right?
And Defenders. We got that to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. So
see how Defenders goes.
Exactly. They're definitely going to elaborate on each character. They're not just going to drop these characters all of a sudden and just be like, no, we're just never going to do a project
for them. Well, you know, I thought Mystique would never be part of the X-Men. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
They lied to me.
I want Danny Rand saying he's the Iron Fist in the Defenders and everyone just laughing at him. So, and then, like, they get into a fight and they're like, okay, all right.
So I had a quick look just to see how it was doing, right? Because there was a lot of backlash. It didn't do very well in Rotten Tomatoes and things like that. There was the whole whitewashing backlash.
Oh,
I don't know if you want to talk about that, but
God.
There's a whitewashing. I have a lot of thoughts about that. I think that aside from that, that's what he was in the comic books. Fine, maybe that's not enough, but in my opinion, he was the outcast in Kun Lun, right?
Yep.
Whether it was played by a white male or a white female or maybe a black male or a black female, he should be that outcast, right? He should be that fish out of water. He's the fish out of water when he's in Kun Lun,
mm-hmm.
and then he's the fish out of water when he comes out of Kun Lun,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
right? So I don't think, and it would have been fine if they found an Asian actor for this, that's fine, but I don't think that they needed to, in my opinion.
Same here.
Yeah.
Right? That I needed to. And I was very curious because I know that there's a lot of that happening in Hollywood, and I think some cases are very warranted. Like there was that movie that...
Ghost in the Shell.
I haven't seen the movie, but potentially Ghost in the Shell. There's that film about the Egyptians...
Yeah.
Right. Very warranted, and I think in these cases, I don't think that was the case in Iron Fist. So I was very curious to see how that affected the ratings. Iron Fist was the number one streamed show last year. It beat out Luke Cage, Daredevil season 2, Orange is the New Black, Stranger Things, beat them all out.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
So.
You're gonna make another
it
one.
Did it. They're
yeah.
gonna make another one.
You don't have to watch it.
It's the bottom line.
I just hope it's
better.
Better.
Yeah.
I hope they correct it because I think it could be the best.
Yeah. No.
Definitely.
It could be
definitely.
Like, I'm not.
There's so many layers to this character that like they haven't elaborated on, and you know what? Like the whole he should have been Asian instead of being white.
That makes no sense.
Here's the thing though, but like him being white, like. Gives him more layers, right? He's a rich kid coming from New York.
I think it's more the history of the character that it goes back to a time where they always made the Great White Hope. It was always the white man who the blonde hair, blue eye that comes from that era. And I think that's why people are like, it's even something that you saw in wrestling, right? You want a bad guy, he's got to be a foreigner.
Yeah.
So it's always that stigma of the white. The white male.
Then don't have him be the name Danny Rand. Be somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't want to put an Asian person with the name Danny Rand because the Danny Rand I know is not Asian.
And
yeah.
You'll always have the person that's always like, it's a show about kung fu and chi and all that mysticism.
Oh, it should be an Asian dude. But then that's playing
that
the stereotype.
Yeah.
Right? That's playing the stereotype. But then...
at all.
Down the road, what's the whole point of having Shang-Chi? Right. What, you're going to have Shang-Chi being played as a white guy?
And then you have people that are like,
yeah,
martial
exactly.
arts would be a lot better if you
no.
casted an Asian American. Whereas like, but if they give him time, it wouldn't have made a difference.
No,
if they had the same time and you put one person and another person, they're all going to, no one moves the same. You'll learn that in martial arts, period.
Yeah,
you take the time for it. Teach them all the same way and everything.
They don't need to know martial arts. They need to know the choreography.
Exactly.
Right? Which is not easy.
No.
But they need
no.
to know just the choreography. They don't need to know how to fight.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I mean, again, like I think in a lot of cases, yeah, this is a problem. Absolutely. I'm not saying there's no problem. But I think in this particular case, in my opinion, again, it could have been an Asian person played this role. It would have been perfectly fine, but I don't think it was necessary,
no.
right, in this particular case. And I actually was listening to a podcast the other day, and what they were saying was very interesting. In a lot of cases, and again, we're talking about like the 60s,
yeah.
Marvel was one of the front runners in creating diversity.
Yeah.
Right? And when they had Luke Cage and Danny Rand team up for the Heroes for Hire, that was celebrated, you know, as, you know, a black man and a white man, you know, getting together,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, that was a celebrated thing back then, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, it's a different time now, but anyway, those are my two cents. I thought I'd bring it up because it seems to be something that was really big on the internet for a while.
Well, you know how people, right? like, if they find something that they can poke at and make it a bigger issue than what it is, they do. It's just,
yeah.
that's the generation we're part of. You get behind your computer and you can type whatever you want, your grievances, but I get why some people feel that way from the history of what they've done with that type of culture.
Yeah.
And how people have, what's the word? Oh, I can't think of it right now. I'm going blank. But they've taken something in as their own.
Yeah.
But in this case, the character, this is the character from a history of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
So
you can't make everyone happy.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think, and again, back to the character
yeah.
and the
yeah.
way that he
That's
overcame, he overcame that being an outsider, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, if you think about it, Daredevil could have been any race.
Yeah.
Right? There's
it's
nothing true. That... There's nothing specifically that particular
it.
Race about Daredevil.
Same
so
with
why
Jones.
Is there no controversy about a white man playing Daredevil?
Exactly.
right? So, but everybody, because there's this whole kung fu thing, and they, I just maybe I just don't.
It's
get
a lot
that.
Of it's a lot of like talk about nothing because there's a lot of Asian characters that could just be part of its show,
right.
and then it could be fine, and they could be Asian and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. But because it's a main thing, they just want to make it. Known that like oh Asians
right.
but like there's other ways to go about this. It doesn't have to be every white person you see has to be an Asian person or a black person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like if you give it time and you pay attention, there's a lot of other people that are coming now that are of different like race and stuff, and they're being like Spider-Man, they're being like different characters like
mm-hmm.
Miles Morales
Miles Morales Marvel. And like
great,
you have to you have to
yeah.
like see it for the good and not bad.
And I think it needs to be natural too. Like
it
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
I'm picky in the way where I love the Flash TV show, but I want him to be blonde. Because Barry Allen's
oh
blonde.
My God, that's
like,
what I said.
I want Daredevil to have red hair. Like
yeah.
it's just one of those
yeah.
things
yeah.
where
you want that comic to come to life.
To come to life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And in some ways
it's been a dream.
My favorite casting of any superhero character in all of the movies, whether it was good or bad, has always been Hugh Jackman. I love him. Because
he looks
Wolverine.
Exactly
like but I want Wolverine.
He's so tall.
But that's
yeah.
the problem, right?
Yeah, that's
the only
problem.
Wolverine.
That's the thing. I want to see, make him short.
Yeah.
Or make him bend all the time. Like, it's
something,
not that hard.
Yeah. I was fine with his
foot. He stands up
foot,
really straight.
But yeah, just walk like this.
It's always commented on the fact that he is
boss.
Short, right?
Like what Christopher
so I want to see that.
Reeves did with Superman.
I don't know. I don't
watch why I think the guy who played Bane.
Sorry. He's up straight.
His name,
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy would be a great Wolverine. Because he's I think he's around 5'8 or 5'9. No, he's not 5'3 or whatever Wolverine is, but
he's
shorter. He is shorter, he's stockier, he's got that build. I think he would play a great Wolverine.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there's probably shorter guys who could
I
want to
see another fastball special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get one.
Yeah,
I agree.
We'll get one in Defenders.
I really do though.
Coming to you.
Let's see.
November 2017.
I feel like it's one of the things that Marvel doesn't do a lot of. But I feel like they're scared to do it because like it's gonna lose its touch.
Do you want to? Do you think they're like they would have enough time to do Heroes for Hire?
That would be good.
I
do
hope
think,
so.
Like, do you think they have
I
enough
hope,
time
yeah.
to do like we're gonna combine these two series and we're gonna make a Heroes
oh,
for Hire?
God,
show.
I hope so.
Well, speaking of fastball specials, we're gonna be getting the fastball special podcast coming up soon from Mr. Slam Duncan himself.
Yes, sir.
And I'm happy we all got together to talk about Iron Fist and
yeah.
getting everybody's different perspective on it, especially from martial artists themselves. So if you have an opinion of Iron Fist that we didn't touch on, things that you liked or hated, you can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Do you have a email site set up yet, Sam
yeah.
Duncan?
Thefastballspecial.com. Like I said, not much there right now, but it's coming.
Is there an address they can mail you? Any emails yet?
Not yet.
Not
but we will have it on the site very soon.
There we go. All right. So stay tuned for the Cave of Solitude podcast. the Fastball Special podcast, and there will be more episodes coming up very soon. Thank you guys again for joining me. Thank you, Angelica, for joining us for the first time. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
We like kings reading everybody clips here.
I bring the rage like Luke Cage when I grip my mic with an iron fist from secret cyber cities of Kunlun. Me and my June moon surf your skies riding to me with a boom tube that cuts deep. Get your tourniquets. That's murderous.